Good morning.
Good morning.
So I don't really know how long I've known you, Kyle. Do you remember the year that you met my brother Jason?
92.
92? So you were how old then?
I'm 19.
I know that Kyle had a praying grandmother. And this week I've heard a couple things about roots and transferring your faith. And that's what he's doing. So what the Lord has done in his life, his wife Rebecca's life, and the children's life, you heard the call and you obeyed it. And it's an encouragement to know you, because I feel like I have a special connection with you, and it's not just a spiritual connection, and but I also know it's one from the Father that's strong, and I can hardly, my feet are shaking, and I know that's the Holy Spirit. So we are blessed to have you, and you know, Pastor wanted you to come before, and it's just we weren't sure about the separation and social distancing and what we should or shouldn't do. And when he reached out to you this last time, and your comment was you would come for the one family, what a statement. What if we lived our lives that way every day, that we would do it for the one? Because Jesus did it for the one. So we welcome you, we honor you, and we love you too.
I'm Rebecca, Kyle's wife. We are so excited to be with you. I always am hearing stories about Jason and how funny and what a cut-up he is. And I can tell that same funness and spirit is with his sister as well. And it was great hearing about the youth programs that you guys are praying for. And I saw it in the bulletin, which is the list of their names. And today, I'm just kind of going to introduce our work a little bit, and Kyle's going to share a message, but I think the part that we want to just portray to you this morning is that no one person can do the job that God has commissioned us to do by themselves. And none of us are able to do the Great Commission alone. And I love the idea of the body of Christ, and the head, and the hands, and the feet. And while our role, and what we feel God's called us to do, is to go, that doesn't put any position in a place that's more powerful than the other positions. So as we read the prayer today, this really spoke to me when it said, fill us with your spirit that we might become messengers of your salvation. And each one of us has a role to play in carrying that salvation to the ends of the earth. What we believe is there's really three major roles in that. And the first role of that is prayer. What we believe as a couple and as a family is that prayer is not just something you do. Prayer is a vital part. Prayer is action. So you're like, oh, I wish I could do something. I wish I could do something more. Prayer isn't just a band-aid that you're putting over it because you don't have anything else to do. Prayer is the action that helps to protect our family. It helps to break down the walls that we're talking about when we show the video. The people that we're reaching, there's a reason that they've never heard the gospel one time in 2,000 years since Jesus came. And it's not just political. It's not just their location. But it's because there's a spiritual darkness there that has to be broken down. And one family cannot fight that spiritual darkness alone. We need the church to be praying and interceding for these areas. And we have a prayer card here that has our family, has a part of the country. And when you guys take this today, you could just put it somewhere where you see it all the time. For me, that would be on the refrigerator. I don't know where that would be for you guys. I go to the refrigerator to cook dinner, lunch, breakfast. So I'm there a lot, and then just my own personal snacks. But for me, that's the place where I see it. And it needs to be somewhere where you're seeing it, because prayer is action. It is the action that we are coming to you guys today, just saying, if you can connect with us, if you can get to understand where this prayer part has a significant meaning, because you saw this video that shows our people and you heard Kyle speak, so that you can be praying more specifically. Last year in 2019, we had an ISIS terrorist attack in our country about a mile from where we live. Six different churches were blown up on Easter Sunday. And it was specifically targeted toward Christians. And so, of course, with the way the Eastern world thinks, anyone who is Caucasian or who's Western or who's American is assumed to be a Christian. And so our son and daughter were supposed to go to school. They're the only Christians at their school. They go to a local Sri Lankan school. They're one of the only Caucasian children in the whole, in our whole town. And so the principal called me and she said, we're starting back school and we're bringing in some guards to guard the front of the school so that Caleb and Catherine will be safe. And they're coming in from the military. And do you think that Caleb could wear a hat on his head? You saw our children in the video. Our son's really tall and he's really blonde. And he's really, really fair. And so I said, sure, you know, and my mother heart was just like, oh, maybe we shouldn't send them. But we really felt like we need to be demonstrating our faith, that we have faith that God protects us. And so we talked about, she called back 3 minutes later, she goes, actually, do you think that you could possibly drive him and open the door so he directly walks into the school? He doesn't walk down the road at all. I'm like, oh, sure, Mrs. Moyer, I'm happy to do that. Now I'm starting to get really scared. And then she calls and says, do you think it is possible that he could rub something on his skin to make him happy? Moment, just thinking, I'm so glad that we took the time 4 years ago to go to churches and just say, hey, can you be praying for us? Because as their mother, my fear of that day dropping him off at the school, they hadn't caught the ISIS terrorists at that time. They were still searching for them. The cell was still there. We knew all of this. At that time, I thought, there was no church that we spoke to, even one family, like Tina was saying, where I asked them to pray for us, that was wasted. Because that's when I needed to know that people were covering our children in prayer. When I opened that door and thought, just run as quick as you can through the door, I knew I just am sending him, because today I know that we've been to probably 50 churches. We were home for 1 year, and we try to go to a church every Sunday. And I believe that somewhere there's women and men of God who are praying over our children. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about partnering together. We're called to go. And maybe there are some people here that are called to different parts and different ministries, but we believe that every person is called to partner with us in prayer. Because God commissioned us to go into all the world. Not every one of you can go. But as the body of Christ, when we partner together, we're the feet, but you're the hands, you're the head, you're the body that's interceding and doing that on our behalf. We are really honored to be with you today and to share with you about our people. In our answer in two locations, two groups of islands. We live in Sri Lanka, which you'll see on the video is primarily Buddhist. They do have a Christian national church in Sri Lanka. We have about 1.8% Christians. So very small population. It is definitely a very Buddhist, has some Hindus, some Muslims. We live there, and we also work in islands called the Maldives, which are beside Sri Lanka. Those islands are 100% Muslim. They have the highest number per capita of ISIS fighters in the world. When you walk into their country, there's a large sign when you come into the Maldives that says, this is 100% Muslim nation, no other religions will be tolerated. And these are countries where the people have never had a chance to reject the gospel. They've never heard the gospel. So it's not like when we're dealing with unreached people groups in different parts of the world where they've had a chance to hear, but they've chosen not to accept that as the religion that they embrace. But in this part of the world, they've never been given the opportunity. And what we believe when God's giving us the Great Commission is that every person should have at least one chance to hear the gospel presented to them,
to understand that Jesus came and he died on the cross for their sins just at least one time. And that's the mission work that we are called to, and that's to specifically take the gospel into parts of the world where the people have never had one opportunity to hear the name of Jesus. Kyle's doing that in Sri Lanka. We believe that he's discipling about 12 young men who are first-generation Christians, and our plan that we believe God's given us is for those men to go to the Maldives and plant the first church in the Maldives. There are no churches there. There's no known believers. Wycliffe has been working on their Bible translation for over 20 years. They have no gospel in their language today. Every time that Wycliffe completes a book, that book is either destroyed online or through their cloud. They've had their whole computers burned. And so now Wycliffe is in the country. They're trying to do the translation in India. So it's just been a big obstacle just to get the Bible translated, not even the whole Bible, just the New Testament translated into their language. Because of the spiritual oppression. And that's where we believe that prayer can really make the difference in supporting not just us, but the few other missionaries that are working in the country. So we're going to show a video, I think, of our country, and then Kyle's going to come and share. But we just thank you for the opportunity today to just ask you to get a heart for the people that are around the world and lift them up in prayer, because that's really where the barriers are going to be broken down, is when we really start interceding and asking God to shine light into the darkest place.